بسم الله والسلام والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 18th session reading from بواعث الخلاص من الذنوب, يعني the ways and means that can help and enable a person to avoid sinning and to distance themselves from sinning. The original text for this topic is from Al-Imam Shams al-Din Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr al-Dimashqi al-Hanbali, better known as Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah. And the commentary on this text is from our Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr hafidhumullah. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight we're going to be looking at the 18th ba'ith, yani the 18th motivational factor that helps a person to avoid sinning. Before doing so, I'm going to take a quick look at some of the points that we covered last week in the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 17. The first question being summarized, the 17th ba'ith, the 17th motivational factor as presented by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. The 17th motivational factor as presented by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. Anybody? 17, now. Pate.
Two forces operate, one pulling one to success, and the other one is pulling towards destruction.
Yani that a person knows, that they are aware, that they're conscious of the fact that within every person there are two opposing forces. Yani one of them pulling them to that which is good and to their success, and the other one pulling in the opposite direction. Now, question number two, what happens when a person yields or submits to either al-jazib al-a'la, the higher force, or al-jazib al-asfal, the lower force? What happens when a person yields or submits to either one of these forces? Abdul Wali.
When he submits to al-jazib al-a'la, he ascends a degree each time until he reaches a lofty station.
Now, and when a person yields or surrenders or submits to the higher force that's pulling them to that which is their salvation and success, then yani at every point they are raised up. They rise up a degree until they end up in the place that is for them from the higher stations of paradise. And if they surrender or yield to the jazib al-asfal, the lower force, then they will descend, yani they will go down one degree every time until they reach a place, yani in the hellfire, that's for them. What should a person do if he wants to know whether his place will be with the loftiest companion or the lowest? What should a person do if they want to know what is going to be their position in the next life? What should they do? How will they know? Talib. Yani a person looks at where they are now. What are they attracted to? What is their heart attached to in this world? If their heart is attached to the forces that are pulling them to good, then yani that's where they will be in the next life. And if their heart is attached to the forces of evil that's pulling them down, then it will be more rightful that they be yani with those people or those in that position. Question number four, mention three things included in the forces that pull a person to the lowest of the low. Three things that the Shaykh mentions in his commentary that are part of the forces that pull a person to the lowest of the low. Number one, Naam, Abdul Wali.
The evil within himself that incites him to evil.
The evil that's within a person that incites them, that calls them, that invites them to evil. Naam, second one. Number two, what else? Evil outside of itself, like what?
The shaitan.
And number three he mentioned?
Evil companions.
So all of these are things that a person has to be aware of, conscious of, and resisting. Resisting that which is in oneself, yani an-nafs al-ammara bisu, resisting that call, that invitation, and as well resisting yani the invitations of shaitan and the effects and the influences of bad companionship. Question number five. If a person were to know and reflect upon how he is pulled by these two opposing forces, what should he do? If a person knows this, that there are two opposing forces, when they came to know this, what should they do? What should they do? And if a person knows that there's a force pulling them to good, what should they do? No.
They should yield to it.
And keep it as a companion. Yani they should yield to it and follow it and stick to it and not allow themselves to be separated from it. And the opposite is also true. If they know that there's a force pulling them to evil, they should distance themselves from it and recognize that that this is to their destruction, that it's going to lead them to evil. Question number six. Memorize in Arabic or English the hadith concerning who you will be with upon judgment and in the hereafter. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Naam."
And Anas radiallahu anhu. Innahu. Rajulun jaa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Qala ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yani when is the hour? Man came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked him, when is the hour? And the Prophet ﷺ said, summarize. What have you prepared for the hour of judgment? Naam. The man said that I didn't do a lot of extra voluntary prayers and fasting and charity, but what I have in my favor is that I love Allah and His Messenger. And the Prophet ﷺ said, and this is the core meaning of the hadith that we're actually looking for, he said to him what? Al-mar'u. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. In another narration, he said, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba yawm al-qiyamah. Yani that a person will be with whom he loves. A person will be with whom he loves. And in the other narration, yani on the day of resurrection. Okay, the last question is, summarize the first 17 bawa'ith motivational factors mentioned by Imam Ibn Qayyim. And the first of them being,
remembering the exaltedness.
Remembering, acknowledging, recognizing the exaltedness, the glorification, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, yani being entitled to yani our obedience. Second one. Naam. Naam.
Love of Allah.
Naam. Mahabbat Allah. Naam. That a person's love of Allah should motivate them yani to be obedient to Allah and not be disobedient to Him. And the third one. Naam. Yani recognizing, acknowledging the blessings, the multiple, unlimited blessings and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, demanding that we should reciprocate and with goodness in return. Naam, the fourth one? Consciousness, awareness, knowing of Allah's anger, which yani causes a person to receive His wrath, His punishment. Number five. Huh? Okay, number six is yani that a person, the delight, the joy in suppressing the nafs and overcoming shaitan. Number five, going back one. Being conscious of the loss of good. The good that a person loses out, that they would have been given by Allah if they had been obedient to Him. Now, number eight, seven.
Compensation.
The compensation, that Allah compensates a person when they give up yani something that they desire which is in disobedience to Allah, Allah compensates them with that which is better than it in this life or in the next life. Number eight, Adil?
The ma'iyah of Allah, the consciousness of Allah, the presence of Allah with you.
The presence of Allah with you. Yani ma'iyatullah al-khasa. The special presence of Allah, yani, which means that Allah protects and provides for and guides any those who He is, has this special relationship with. Type number nine. Number nine, Naam. What is your name? Samia, yes, Samia. I just heard it today and I forgot already. Allahu musta'an. Samia, mashallah.
The calamity of sins.
The calamity of sins, okay. Yani the reality that, yani, al-bala is really, yani the calamity is that a person is in disobedience to Allah. And al-afiyah is that a person is in obedience to Allah. Naam. Let's go back. One, before that. Number nine. That's number ten. Number nine.
Consciousness
of unexpected sudden death. That a person might die suddenly without any notification, and therefore they won't have a chance to rectify any of the bad condition that they're in if they're in disobedience to Allah. Number 11. Abdul Wali. Striving against yani the evil invitations, yani dawa'i shar from the nafs, yani the evil invitations and calls, striving against that, resisting that. Now, number 12. Evil thoughts, yani making war, striving against the evil false thoughts that come from the nafs. Now, number 13. Now, fadl.
Severing any relationships call you to evil desires.
Cutting off those relationships and distancing oneself from the asbab, the causes that lead a person to submit and surrender to the evil yani inclinations of the nafs. Now, number 14. That's 14 or 13? That's 13. 14. Yeah.
Contemplating the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those that are created,
ayat, and
the ones that recite.
Naam. Yani, what did you say? Contemplating? Contemplating. Contemplating. Naam. Reflecting. Yani, التفكر في آيات الله يعني المتلوة والمخلوقة. Yani, that a person reflects upon and benefits from that reflection, reflecting upon the ayat of Allah, the signs of Allah, in that which He revealed in the Quran, and that which is in the creation. Number 15. التفكر في ماذا? Naam. Samia. The reality of this world. Yani reflecting upon the reality of this world. Yani the nearness of its end. The swiftness of its end and the nearness of its ending. Naam. Number 16. Naam, Pate.
Turning back towards Allah.
Turning back towards Allah. Turning to Allah, the one in whose hands is the control of everything. In the hearts of the human beings and every affair in the creation. Yani he's in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one that we should turn to, that asks for His help. And if a person knows that they are doing things that are in disobedience to Allah, that are earning Allah's displeasure, and they know the consequence of that, then they should turn to Allah. And He's the one who controls the hearts in all affairs. And the last one, 17, we already said, is what, Yani?
The
two things, that a person is aware and conscious that there are two forces pulling them in different directions. And yani, being aware of that, a person should respond appropriately to that which is going to be to their benefit and avoiding that which would harm them. Okay, today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be doing the point number 18. The text of Ibn al-Qayyim is in the back of the English translation on page 66 and 67. And we're going to look at that and then we're going to go to the Arabic, which begins on page 48. And after that, we're going to look at the commentary, the two commentaries. The commentary from the audio that's in the English translation, and the commentary that's from the Arabic edition of the book. So, in the English translation, on page 66, this is how it's translated. And there are a couple of points that probably need some modification, but just for the sake of time, we'll try to skip through them quickly. Point number 18 says, to know. Yani, this is the 18th means. Or way from the 18th of the ways or means that will help a person to avoid sin is that a person knows, has knowledge, to know that it is a condition, a shart. It's a precondition. And before something can be done, preconditions have to be fulfilled. So it is a shart. To know that it is a shart for the land to be cleared for the descent of rain of the rain of mercy. You need to know that in order for the rain of mercy to descend on the land has to be cleared first. And for it to be purified of weeds or other harmful elements, this is also a prerequisite or a condition, a shart, to allow the plants to grow perfectly. And two things here he's saying, that it's a shart that the land be cleared. before the rain will come down upon it. And no matter what the farmer does to the land, it's not going to grow without rain coming. And it's also a sharat, a condition, that in order for the growth to grow properly, then it has to be cleared from those things that are going to harm it. Yani weeds or other growth or other insects and things that may harm the growth of that which the person is growing. If the land is not empty, it's not cleared away to receive the rain, then the rain of mercy will not find a clear, suitable place to descend upon. If the land is not cleared and made ready to receive the rain, then the rain will not find a place yani to land upon. And if the place is cleared, in order for the rain of mercy to descend upon it, however it is not cleaned or the weeds are not removed, then the vegetation will not grow properly. And it will be affected, it will be hampered, or it will be ruined by those things that are in the environment that cause harm to it. So it is possible, yani, if that is not done, it is possible that the weeds, yani, it is possible for the weeds to engulf the vegetation and establish its rule upon the water supply and elements and or nutrients, meaning that it's possible that if other harmful plants or growth are allowed and they're not cleared away, then it may overcome that which you are trying to grow and destroy it. The next point that Ibn Qayyim mentions is he gives the example of what must be done in order for a person to have success in the planting of whatever they are trying to grow. And then he compares that to what we are talking about here, yani the what we are planting in the heart, yani iman, the tree of faith, shajaratul iman, that this is what we are really talking about. So he talks about the land, the earth, and how farming works, and then he talks about yani what we are really talking about, that is what we are trying to plant in our hearts, yani the iman that has to be yani a place has to be prepared for it to be received, and then it has to be guarded and protected and maintained yani from things that harm it. So he says the similitude of this is like a man who prepares his land and primes it for planting vegetation. So he plants the seeds and he waits for the rain to fall. And he does what he has the ability to do. He clears the land, he prepares it, he plants the seeds, and then he waits for Allah. And he to bring the rain that's going to cause the growth to come forth. Similarly, and this is the real meaning of what we're talking about here, if the abd, if the person purifies his heart, yani that's the place where we're planting the seeds, and he removes from it evil intentions and evil thoughts, and he sows in it the seeds of remembrance, yani dhikr, dhikrullah, and reflection, al-fikr, and mahabba, love, and ikhlas, sincerity. Yani these are the seeds. These are examples of the seeds that a person is gonna yani plant in the heart when the heart has been prepared to receive them. And then he exposes it, yani the heart, he exposes it to the treasured winds or the blowing of the winds of mercy and waits for the rain of mercy to descend in its time. If a person does that, he says, if a person does that, then he is deserving to reap the harvest. Yani it is expected, it is likely that he's going to have a harvest to receive. A person purifies his heart and removes from it evil intentions and evil thoughts. And then he sows the seeds, yani of dhikr and fikr and mahabba and ikhlas. And then he exposes it to the blowing winds of mercy and waits for Allah to bring the rain that will cause the growth. If he does that, then he's deserving to reap the harvest. The next point, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, here he talks about yani the hope that a person has. If they've done everything that they can do, then Allah is the one who makes it happen. Yani Allah will bring the rain, if he wills. But a person has to have hope for that. He said, just as the hope for rainfall increases as its expected time, or at its expected time. And just like there's a season for rain, and the farmer expects rain to come in that season. He has hope that it's going to come because it's time for it. Then so does the hope for receiving the favors of the Most Merciful grow stronger or increase during the virtuous times and noble settings, situations, or circumstances. Meaning just like the farmer does what he has to do, and then he waits for the rain to come in the time that it normally comes. So likewise, yani, with the human being and the, yani, the condition of the heart, yani, likewise there's hope, yani, there's increased and strengthened hope of receiving the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during virtuous times, yani, seasons when we expect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given freely. And that might be, yani, certain periods of time or certain, yani, times of the day, or it might be in certain situations or circumstances, like a person is fasting, or a person is in sajda, or on Yawmul Jumu'ah, or in the, on the day of Arafat, a person who's at Arafat, and things like this. Yani, that the hope of Allah's favors coming is increased and stronger during those times and in those situations and circumstances. He says, especially if this is coupled with resolve and determination. Yani, that the people have, yani, high aspirations to achieve the favors of Allah, and the hearts are supporting one another, and it is a large gathering, like the congregation at Arafat, and the congregation for the prayer for rain, and the congregation, the gathering of the people for the Friday prayers. The gathering of determinations and souls, yani, people together, gathering together, having the same aspiration of achieving good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The souls, the people, the hearts of the people coming together, seeking the same thing. This gathering of the, yani, aspirations of the people and the souls of the people are causes. They are asbab. They are causes that Allah the Most High has set up for the attainment of good and the descent of mercy, just as he has set causes that produce their established effects. The meaning here is that the asbab due to which something is achieved are not just in the material world, but also, yani, in our relationship with Allah. They are also asbab that Allah has set up, yani, to achieve certain things. The Shaykh, he says, yani, the asbab he's talking about here in the material world are what are commonly known as cause and effect. Or what are commonly known as cause and effect. And if a certain cause comes into play, we expect a certain effect. Like if a person subjects water to freezing temperatures, we expect that it's gonna freeze. It's gonna turn to ice. And likewise, if we subjected water to high heat temperatures, we expect that it's gonna boil or evaporate. So these are things that Allah has set up, that there are certain causes that bring about certain effects, but we know ultimately in the end that Allah is the one who controls everything. And Allah is the one who can make the causes that harm a person, he can make them not harm, rather he can make them be good for a person. And the opposite is also true, as we know from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was thrown in the fire. And what we expect from fire is that it burns. But Allah is the one who controls the cause and effect relationship of the things in the creation. And instead of it burning, it was made to be cool for him. So the Shaykh is saying here that just like in the material world, in the physical world, there are causes and effects. So likewise in our relationships with Allah, there are causes and effects. He says actually the above causes for the attainment of mercy, yani, in our relationships with Allah, are stronger than the perceptible causes in the material world that produced their fixed results. However, the servant, due to his ignorance, is swayed more by what is visible, yani, that which he can see in the physical world, more than he is swayed by that which is hidden, which he doesn't see. And he is swayed more by what is perceptible, by his, yani, physical senses, his sight and hearing and things like this, more than he is affected by, yani, that which is perceived by his intellect, by the aql, or he translates here as reason. And due to his oppression, and I think the intended meaning here of oppression is, yani, the word that's used in Arabic is dhulm, and probably what is intended is, as the scholars say, that dhulm is putting something in other than its right place. And here the Shaykh is referring to, yani, putting our trust and our confidence in other than the right place. Dhulm, due to the person's dhulm, he prefers that which is determined and required by that which is physical over that which is determined and required by that which is hidden. if the servant was to clean, and this is next to the last point, if the servant was to clean the area, and we're talking about, yani, in the physical world we're talking about land, but in reality we're talking about the heart of the human being. If a person were to clean the area, prepare it, and rectify it, then he would witness remarkable things. And we would see, yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing what he does. Yani, he does whatever he wills. He said, verily, nothing can prevent the grace of Allah, the favors of Allah, except the barriers that are found within the servant himself. If he removed these barriers, these obstacles, then the grace and the favor and bounties of Allah would hasten to him from every direction. And finally, Ibn Qayyim says, consider the example of a vast river that waters every land through which it passes. However, there was a barrier and a large dam between it and parts of the land. Yani, there's a vast river that's flowing and it is watering every land that it passes. However, there's a piece of land that is separated from it by a barrier, by a large dam. And so the owner of this land complains of drought, and his land is not being watered, while the rivers flow beside his land. Yani, the reason why his land is not being watered is because he has placed a barrier there. And the reason why we are not receiving the favors of Allah is because of our sins that prevent us from receiving Allah's mercy and His favors. This is how, yani, we found it in the translation in the Arabic text. Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim says, Rahimahullah, al-thamin ashara, the 18th matter, and ya'lam anna tafriqa al-mahal shartun linuzul ghayth al-rahmah, that we must know that tafriq al-mahal, yani emptying, clearing the place where we're expecting to plant and grow something, is a condition for the descent of the rain of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa tanqiyatuhu min ad-daghal shartun likamal az-zar', and likewise purifying that place from harmful weeds or other growth that is going to harm what we are trying to plant, this removing this, purifying the place from these harmful weeds or other growth, is also a condition for the completion and the perfection of what we are trying to grow. And keep in mind that what we're talking about here, and we want to always try to keep this in the forefront of our mind so that it's clear to us, we're talking about, yani, the Muslim trying to plant the seeds of Iman and maintain the growth of the seeds of Iman, or the Shajaratul Iman, the tree of Iman that's in the heart of the believer, that Allah mentions in the Quran, I think in Surah to Ibrahim, and also the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he has mentioned it in various places. So he's saying here that emptying the place is a condition for the descent of the rain, and clearing it of that which would harm the growth is also a condition for the completion and perfection of that growth. He says, وَمَتَى فَمَتَى لَمْ يُفَرِّغْ الْمَحَلْ لَمْ يُصَادِفْ غَيْثُ الرَّحْمَةِ مَحَلًا فَارِغًا قَابِلًا يَنْزِلُ فِيهِ. Yani, whenever the person doesn't clear the space, the place where we are trying to grow something, then the rain of rahmah, it will not find a place that will be clear and that will be receptive for that rain to descend upon it. وَإِنْ فَرَّغَهُ حَتَّى أَصَابَهُ غَيْثَ الرَّحْمَةِ لَكِنَّهُ لَمْ يُنَقِّهِ مِنَ الدَّغَلْ لَمْ يَكُنْ أَزَّرْعُ زَرْعًا كَامِلًا. He said, but even if a person clears the space, yani if a person removes everything that's there so that the rain of mercy may descend upon it, but he doesn't clean it of the weeds or the harmful things that are there, then that growth will not have a complete and perfect growth. Yani, it will be hampered, it will be affected, it may be destroyed. بَلْ رُبَّمَا غَلَبَ الدَّغَلْ عَلَى الزَّرْعِ وَكَانَ الْحُكْمُ لَهُ. He said, rather, it is possible that the weeds may overcome what we are growing, and yani, will be the controlling factor. Meaning that instead of having growing some plant or some crops, then we will just have weeds that will be of no benefit. He goes on to say, وَهَذَا كَالَّذِي يُصْلِحْ أَرْضَهُ وَيُهَيِّئُهَا لِقَبُولِ الزَّرَعِ وَيُوضِعُ فِيهَا الْبَذْرَ وَيَنْتَظِرْ نُزُولَ الْغَيْثِ. He said, this is like the person who cultivates his land and he prepares it to receive, yani the planting or the vegetation or the crops that we are growing. And then he, after preparing the land, he, yani, sows the seeds and waits for the descent of the rain. Likewise, in the human being, إِذَا تَحَّرَ الْعَبْدُ قَلْبَهُ وَفَرَّغَهُ مِنْ إِرَادَاتِ السُّوءِ وَخَوَاتِرِهِ وَبَذَرَ فِيهِ بَذْرَ الذِّكْرَ وَالْفِقْرَ وَالْمَحَبَّ وَالْإِخْلَاصِ وَأَرَّدَهُ لِمَحَابِ رِيَاعِ الرَّحْمَةِ وَانْتَظَرَ النُّزُولَ غَيْثَ الرَّحْمَةِ فِي أَوَانِهِ كَانَ جَدِيرًا فِي حُصُولِ الْمُغَلِ. Yani likewise, if a person purifies his heart and he removes from it, yani evil intentions and evil thoughts, yani the things that are harmful to the heart, and then he plants in it the seeds, yani, of what is gonna help, yani, this growth to take place. He plants in it the seeds of al-dhikr, yani the remembrance of Allah. A person engages in remembrance of Allah, and al-fikra, yani reflection and contemplation over the signs of Allah and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and mahabba and ikhlas, sincerity. He plants these seeds and then he exposes his land to the blowing winds of mercy and waits for the descent of the rain of mercy in its time, yani in the time that it is expected. If he does all of that, then he is worthy and he is deserving of attaining, yani, the harvest that he is, yani, hoping for. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, the hope of the rain. وَكَمَا يَقْوَى الرَّجَاءُ لِنُزُولَ الْغَيْثِ فِي وَقْتِهِ كَذَلِكَ يَقْوَى الرَّجَاءُ لِإِصَابَةِ نَفَحَاتِ الرَّحْمَنِ فِي الْأَوْقَاتِ الْفَاضِلَةِ وَالْأَحْوَالِ الشَّرِيفَةِ. He said, just as one's hope in the descent or the fall of rain in its time, yani one's hope is strengthened. Hope in what? The descent of rain in the time that it normally descends. A person, in that time, there's greater hope that is going to come. Well, likewise, one's hope is strengthened in receiving the favors of Ar-Rahman in the awqat al-fadila, in virtuous times, yani times when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Prophet ﷺ has made clear to us that these are special times. These are special times to receive the favors of Allah. And from amongst the most special of those times is the day of Arafat, for the people who are on Arafat especially, and the month of Ramadan, and things like this. He said that the hope that a person has of receiving the favors of Allah is increased, is strengthened in these virtuous times and in these noble situations and circumstances. وَلَا سِيَمَا إِذَا اجْتَمَعَتْ الْهِمَمْ. And especially if the high hopes and aspirations of the people come together. وَتَسَاعَدَتْ الْقُلُوبِ. And the hearts support and help and cooperate with one another. وَعَظُمَا الْجَمْ. And the gathering of the people becomes a great gathering, the number of the people. Like on the day or the gathering of Arafat, or the gathering for Istisqa, for the rain prayer, or the gatherings of the people on the day of Jumu'ah. فَإِنَّ اِجْتِمَاءَ الْهِمَمْ وَالْأَنْفَاسِ أَسْبَابٌ نَصَبَحَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مُقْتَدِيَةٌ لِحُصُولِ الْخَيْرِ وَالنُّزُولِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Indeed, the gathering of the aspirations of the people and the gathering of the people themselves, these are actually causes, these are means that Allah has set into motion that lead to or bring about or necessitate the attainment of all good and the descent of His Rahmah. This is so, just like كَمَا نَصَبَ سَائِرُ الْأَسْبَابِ مُفْدِيَةً إِلَى مُسَبَّبَاتِهَا. Yani just as we recognize in the material world, in the physical world, just as Allah has set up, yani, causes, that lead to effects in the material world. So likewise, Allah has set up any asbab, causes or means or ways to achieve good and to achieve His mercy. He says, rather, بَلْ هَذِهِ الْأَسْبَابِ يعني the asbab that Allah has set up to achieve good in this world and to achieve His mercy. بَلْ هَذِهِ الْأَسْبَابِ فِي حُصُولَ الرَّحْمَةِ أَقْوَى مِنْ الْأَسْبَابِ الْحِسِّيَّةِ فِي حُصُولَ مُسَبَّبَاتِهَا. Rather, these means or these causes that are means of achieving the rahmah of Allah are stronger, are greater than the physical causes or means in the world. Yani the asbab hissiya, yani the causes that we know from our senses, the things that we see or the things that we can touch and so on. The causes of achieving Allah's rahmah are greater than these causes. Greater than these causes are in achieving the effects that are well known. وَلَكِنَّ الْعَبْدِ لِجَهْلِهِ يَغْلِبُ عَلَيْهِ الشَّاهِدِ عَلَى الْغَائِبِ وَالْحِسِّ عَلَى الْعَقْلِ. But the human being, because of his ignorance, yani he gives preference to that which he can see, that which is visible over that which is not seen. And he gives preference to that which he can recognize or perceive with his physical senses over that which he can perceive with his intellect. ولظلمه يؤثر ما يحكم به هذا ويقتديه على ما يحكم به الآخر ويقتديه. So due to his putting things in other than their right place, he gives preference to that which is determined by the physical asbab and that which is caused by the physical asbab. He gives preference to that over that which is determined and caused by the other asbab, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made as means to achieve His mercy and His rahmah. He says, وَلَوْ فَرَّغَ الْعَبْدِ الْمَحَلِ وَهَيَّأَهُ وَأَصْلَحَهُ لَرَاءَ الْعَجَائِبِ. Yani if a person were to actually clear the land, clear the area, or clean up those things that have infected and polluted the heart, and he prepares that place and he cultivates it, then he will see many remarkable or amazing things happen in his life. For indeed, fadlullah la yuradduhu illa al-mani'a alladhi fil 'abd. And there's nothing that pushes away or repulses the favors of Allah except that the obstacles that are within the person himself. Yani Allah's favors are ready for us to be receiving them if we didn't ourselves place obstacles in the way of that. فَلَوْ أَزَالَ ذَلِكَ الْمَانِعَ لَسَارَعَ إِلَيْهِ الْفَضْلُ مِنْ كُلِّ صَوْبٍ. So if a person were to remove those obstacles, and what is crystal clear here, the obstacles are those things that are in disobedience to Allah, yani one's sins and disobedience to Allah, of whatever types they might be. If a person were to remove those obstacles, then the bounties and favors of Allah would hasten to him from every direction. Finally, he closes by saying, فَتَأَمَّلْ حَالْ نَهْرٍ عَظِيمٍ يَسْقِي قُلَّ أَرْضٍ يَمُرُّ عَلَيْهَا فَحَصَلَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ بَعْدِ الْأَرْضِ الْمُعَطَّشَةَ الْمُجْدِبَةَ سُقْرٌ وَسَدٌ كَشِيفٌ وَكَثِيفٌ فَصَاحِبُهَا يَشْكُو الْحَدَبْ وَالنَّهْرَ إِلَى جَانِبْ أَرْضِهِ. He said, think about or reflect upon this situation where there is a great river that is watering every piece of earth that it passes by. But there occurred between that river and some land that was thirsty, that was in a drought, there occurred between them or there existed between them a barrier and a thick dam. So the owner, while he is complaining about the drought or the lack of water for his land, the river, this great river, is flowing right beside his land. So his problem is with himself. He just has to remove the barriers and allow the river to water his land. And this is the situation of the human being in terms of receiving the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just quickly, in the audio explanation of the Shaykh, as is translated in the English translation on page 40, he says, for growth, the area has to be clean and empty. The 18th way to escape sins is to know that it is a condition for a place to be clear and empty in order for the rain of mercy to descend upon it. And it is a prerequisite or a condition for the place to be cleansed of filth for the vegetation to grow perfectly. When this occurs, the place is clear and pure, it becomes ready and prepared for mercy, goodness and blessings. Take the example that Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah alluded to regarding the condition of the vegetation. If the individual does not take it upon himself to remove the weeds and harmful plants that surround the vegetation and compete for its water, it is impossible that they may consume, or it is possible that those harmful weeds may consume more water than the trees, and it is possible that these plants are harmful, and it is possible that there are insects that affect these trees by eating away at them and causing them to die or to become sick. So this vegetation needs the area to be purified in order to thrive and flourish in the best manner, just as it needs to be cleansed of weeds and strange plants and whatever else might harm or consume its nutrients. As a result of this, yani this care and treatment that's given to the land, if it is given ample water, then the water will have a significant effect upon life, fruit, growth and strength. Meaning, the water is referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounties and His favors and His mercy, which affect our lives in a tremendous manner, if only it can reach us. Similarly, the Shaykh says, the believer is like the tree, as mentioned in the Noble Quran. Yani here, the Shaykh, in the audio explanation, is saying that the believer is like this growth, yani what the person is trying to grow. And Allah mentions that parable or that similitude that the believer being like a tree, as mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Ibrahim 14th Surah, 24th and 25th Ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجْرَةٍ طَيِّبَةً أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. And have you not considered, thought about, how Allah presents an example, making a good word like a good tree? Yani the good word, La ilaha illallah, is like a tree that's growing in the heart of the believer, whose root is firmly fixed, and its branches are high in the sky, and it produces its fruit all the time by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تُعْتِي أُكُلَهَا كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا وَيُدْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. So Allah presents examples for the people that perhaps they will be reminded. The Shaykh closes by saying, meaning that this is a similitude that is visible and noticeable, something that we can see, the example of a tree. Yani, and the good word, yani, of La ilaha illallah that's planted in the heart of the believer is like a good tree. Its foundation is firmly established and its branches are high in the sky, and it gives its fruits at every time by the permission of Allah. And this is an example that Allah has set for people to reflect upon. Shaykh says that this is a similitude that is visible and noticeable. It is the example of trees, which helps us to understand the reality of true faith. And the example of true faith is the example of a tree. And the Shaykh, he mentions here, and we're going to read the commentary that came from the Arabic text, and from the printed or the published edition of this book. In this explanation, the Shaykh, he entitles this 18th matter as At-Takhliya Qabla Tahliya. At-Takhliya with Kha Qabla Tahliya with Ha. And I'll just refer us, yani, to the Imam's class on Monday, inshallah. This is going to be the topic. This is going to be the point, yani, from the Al-Qawaid Al-Ashara, yani, fi Tazkiyat Al-Nafs. Yani, At-Takhliya and At-Tahliya. So the Shaykh, he entitles this particular point, and that makes us to understand what is really happening here. That the point is, how is this a means of helping a person prevent them from sin? It is knowing that a person is not going to be successful in doing good. Yani, the tree of Iman is not going to grow unless first, yani, the land is cleared and cleaned and removed of the things that will hamper its growth or prevent it. At-Takhliya Qabla At-Tahliya. And in the book, the Shaykh, he says concerning this particular point, I'll just read like one line from it, because we're going to have this class on Monday, inshallah. He said, the reality of tazkiyah, it is تخليه النفس اولا بتطهيرها عن الرذائل والمعاصي والذنوب ثم تحليتها بعد ذلك بفعل الطاعات والقربات. يعني that the reality of tazkiyah, purification of the soul, it is that a person clears their nafs first by purifying it from evil behavior and sin and disobedience to Allah, and then adorning it or replacing that, yani after that, with acts of obedience and things that bring one near to Allah. So the point here is what? That at tazkiyah, the purification is what is necessary in order for a person to be successful. And that purification first requires getting rid of the sin and corruption and evil that a person has in their heart and their actions, so that yani the tahliyah or the adornment of the heart with the good yani can be successful. And I'll just refer us to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'la, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ وَفَصَلَّى, yani that he indeed has been successful who purifies himself and remembers Allah much, his Rabb, and who performs prayer. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di has a beautiful tafsir concerning this that we don't have time for today. But the point is what? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ, yani success requires that a person purify themselves, and purification requires to remove sinful behavior before we can adorn ourselves with good behavior. Shaykh says, التخليه قبل التحليه. The author, and Ibn Qayyim, has made clear here قاعدة عظيمة, a tremendous principle. وهي أن تفريق القلب من درن الشرك والبدع والمعاصي والمعصية شرط لحصول الخير والبركة. And this is the core meaning of what we wanted to explain. He said that this great principle is that emptying the heart from the dirt and the filth of shirk and the filth of innovation and the filth of sin and disobedience to Allah is a condition in order for a person to receive good and to receive the blessings of Allah. Person has to remove from their self this filth, shirk and bid'ah and ma'asiyah. And here he says that the Shaykh has given an example or a parable that we can see, that we can yani feel, that we can recognize in the material world. And that is that whoever wants to plant something, it is upon him first to clear the land from filth and dirt. And secondly, to prepare it, yani to cultivate it for farming. And after that, the earth will be fit and ready for planting and for bearing fruit. And it is also upon him to attend to, yani he said, وَعَلَيْهِ أَيْضًا أَنْ يَتَعَاهَدَ النَّبَاتِ وَأَنْ يَحْمِيَهُ مِمَّا يَدُرُّهُ. So it is also incumbent upon him then to attend to that growth, to care for it, to keep it up, to protect it from that which would harm it after it has been planted. And this way he will distance, keep away from it, the plants and the insects that will be harmful to it. Yani those which would penetrate it and ruin it and cause it sickness. And in this way, that which he is planting will be safe and it will grow well. He says, فَهَكَذَا يَجِبُ أَيَكُونُ حَالَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. And like this is what is incumbent, that it be the condition of a believer, that we be like this. فَيَجْتَهِدُ أَوَّلًا بِتَنْقِيَةِ قَلْبِهِ وَتَصْفِيَتِهِ مِنْ أَنْوَاعِ الشِّرْكُ وَالْمَعَاسِ لِيَعْمُرَ الْإِيمَانِ فِي قَلْبِهِ وَيُثْمِرَ. He said the first thing is that a person has to strive first to clean up the heart and to engage in the process of purification of the heart from all types of shirk, worshipping other than Allah or attributing yani the rights of Allah to other than Allah, and all types of sin. The heart has to be cleaned up first so that iman may thrive and flourish in the heart and bear fruit. ثُمَّ يَجْتَهِدْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكْ بِتَآهُدْ هَذَا الْإِيمَانِ وَتَصْفِيَتِهِ مِمَّا قَدْ يَشُوبُهُ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ وَالْمَعَاسِي. After that, he said that the person has to, yani, attend to, keep up, maintain this iman. Yani, the seed of iman, the tree of iman that has been planted in the heart. And he must purify it from that which would contaminate it and corrupt and pollute it. Yani, of sins and things, acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيُبَادِرُوا إِلَى التَّوْبَةِ وَالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ وَالتَّخَلُّصْ مِنْهَا بِالْإِقْلَاعِ عَنْهَا. So how does he, yani, guard and protect and maintain the iman and protect it from that which would contaminate and pollute it of sins and disobedience to Allah? He hastens to repentance and seeking Allah's forgiveness and freeing himself by abandoning this sinful behavior. لِيَزْدَادَ الْإِيمَانِ نُمُوًا فِي قَلْبِهِ وَتَنْزِلَ عَلَيْهِ الرَّحَمَاتِ وَالْبَرَكَاتِ. And in this way, yani, iman will be, yani, the growth of iman will be increased in the heart, and the mercies of Allah and the blessings of Allah would be sent upon him. This is the end of what the Shaykh said, but I'm going to just take one more moment, yani, to, yani, look at the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di concerning the ayat that we alluded to, yani, that success requires purification. Allah says in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَن تَزَكَّى. Shaykh says, قَدْ, yani, أَفْلَحَ means قَدْ فَازَ وَرَبَحَ مَن طَحَّرَ نَفْسَهُ وَنَقَّاهُ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَالظُّلْمِ وَمَسَاوِي الْأَخْلَاقِ. Yani, that a person will be successful who has purified himself and cleansed himself from shirk and dhulm, yani, sins and disobedience to Allah of all kinds, and evil character and manners. وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. And he remembers Allah, his Rabb, and he performs prayer. He says that this means that the person اتَّصَفَ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, yani, that this becomes his description. This is what he is described with, that he is engaged in the remembrance of Allah. وَانْصَبَغَ بِهِ قَلْبُهُ. And his heart, yani, is immersed in the remembrance of Allah. As a result of that, فَأَوْجَبَ لَهُ ذَلِكَ الْعَمَلْ بِمَا يُرْضِ اللَّهِ. So this would necessitate that he be engaged in doing those things that are pleasing to Allah. Yani, the person who is engaged constantly in the remembrance of Allah, and their heart is immersed in the remembrance of Allah, this would compel them to do the deeds that are pleasing to Allah. خُصُوصًا الصَّلَاةِ الَّتِي هِيَ مِزَانَ الْإِيمَانِ. Especially the salat, which is the scale of iman. Yani, salat, especially salat. Yani, indeed, successful is the one who purifies himself from sin and disobedience and innovation and shirk and evil character, and who remembers Allah so much that this is what they are described with and their heart is full of, and this, yani, compels a person to do those things that are pleasing to Allah, especially the salat, which is the scale of iman. He said this is the meaning of this ayat, and some other scholars have explained it in another way, but this is really, even though that might be included in it, this is really what is intended here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If there are any questions or comments or corrections, then we'll take all of them after the salat, except any corrections, if there are any corrections. طيب. So we're going to stop here inshallah for the adhan and prepare for the salat. And there's a few minutes remaining, about 7 minutes remaining until the iqama. Inshallah, please, let's utilize the time that remains until the iqama in that which is beneficial and pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembrance of Allah and dhikr and dua and salat. Naam, fadl.